testimony there. Hello, everyone. No, it's not ungracious at all. I feel very honoured. I always do when I come here. Let me just get my bits and pieces sorted out. Do you know, testimonies release life, don't they? And that's why I love them. You know, in many ways, I could just sit there and not speak today and just encourage more testimonies. Because what they do, for people who are in a good place with God, you go, yes, fantastic. And if you're not in a good place with God, there are things for you to hang on to until you are. Okay, nobody's trying to pretend that everybody is seeing the kind of levels of miracles in testimonies that the people who are giving the testimonies are seeing, because that's life. But they are designed to give you hope and faith for your future. So that's why, wherever I am, whatever's happening in my life, I can go, yes, when there's a testimony, because it will either agree with where I'm at, or it will agree with where I want to be. Okay? So that's what testimonies are for, and I love them. So I could sit down now, but I won't, because it's great to be here, and it's lovely to see you back in situ, in your home. Yeah? And God has got great things for this congregation. And I loved, they're one of those choruses we sang earlier where it says the gospel is still breaking chains or something like that. You know, in my job, one of the most incredible privileges that I have is of seeing regularly how God is moving in people's lives and breaking chains and doing this, whether it's salvation or whether it's overcoming years and years of habitual behavior or pressure or whatever. I see it every day. And actually, it's an incredible privilege, and I never want to stop thanking God for it. So I want to encourage you that God is breaking chains every day in Slough and all over the world, and he continues to do it. And he won't stop. He can't stop himself. So our job is just to partner with him in it, isn't it? He just can't help himself. He's lovely. And before I begin to talk this morning, I'm going to talk on David and Goliath and some principles about facing a battle. In a good way, so it's full of hope. Hey. But I did want to speak something prophetic out. While we were worshipping, and it goes in line with what Aileen was saying. As we were worshipping, I had a picture. Maybe you could close your eyes. Right, I saw a picture of you, and I'm going to say you because there are some people in this room, and you were looking at your backpack that you had packed for a journey. And the backpack is full of all you need for the journey. It's got everything in it. It's got a flask in it. It's got a blanket in it. It's got all the things that you can imagine going on a camping trip or on a walking journey. And I saw you looking at this backpack in the wood, and you were shaking your head and saying, I've not got everything I need. I need to fill it with some more things. And Jesus is standing in front of you saying, you have everything you need for the adventure that I'm calling you on. You have everything you need to take the step into the woods with me on this journey. And for some people here today, you know you're about to embark on an adventure with God. But you're looking at your backpack and you're saying, I haven't got enough. I haven't got everything I need inside myself to do this journey. I haven't got enough money to do it. I haven't got enough confidence. I don't have enough faith that this journey is going to be worth doing. And it's like you want to fill the backpack with more stuff. But Jesus says to you today, you have everything you need already. You just need to pick it up and walk with me. And there's a fear that you have that it will fail. And the Lord's just speaking really clearly and saying, I am your leader. I will lead you on this adventure. Don't fear. I'm not going to go off on another journey. I am right with you. So whatever it is that you are thinking, I want to do that, but I don't know whether I can, specifically for you this morning, Jesus is saying to you, yes, you can. Don't fear. And I'm just going to pray. And maybe if it is you, you just want to put your hands in front of you very quietly without any... I'm not going to get people to stand up, but just acknowledge before you and Jesus. I'm not looking. My eyes are closed. Just put your hands in front of you and say in your heart the words that I pray. Jesus, you are everything I need for the journey and the adventure that you've called me on. Thank you that I have a backpack full of everything you've given me, and it will be enough. And if in time it isn't enough, you're my leader and you'll provide for me everything I need to carry on. So Jesus, I trust you for this adventure, knowing you're never going to leave me. Thank you for your word to me in the past, and I want today to be the day when I say yes, let's go. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hopefully that's encouraged a few people, because that's what prophetic words should be for. Even when they're warning words, they're for encouragement because they come from God, don't they? Yes. Right. If you have a Bible, could you turn, please, to 1 Samuel. If this gets annoying, you need to tell me and I'll change the mic to that one. But it does keep cutting out, doesn't it? Is it going to be okay? Yeah? Who knows? Okay, I'll just see where we go. All right. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, please. And what I'm going to do is, in a little while, I'm going to read bits and pieces of the story. Who knows the story of David and Goliath? Yes, most of you. Okay. Did anybody ever sing that song as a child, Only a Boy Called David, or is that... No? There's a few nods. No. I could sing it for you. I'll tell you the words. I'll sing it. Oh, no! Only a boy called David, only a rippling brook. Only a boy called David, and 5 little stones he took. Come on, join with me. And 1 little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. It's so lonely up here. 1 little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. Is it going to... Round and round and round and round and round and round and round. 1 little stone went up, up, up. And the giant came tumbling down. Crash! Oh, yes, thank you. Right, can I just say, Slag congregation, that I noticed that some of you miraculously remembered that, like during the last word of the song. You know who you are. It's like, dawn, it's coming to me. Yeah, right. Thanks for that. I never sang like that before. What a terrible voice. Right, okay, so that's the song. It's a well-known story, isn't it? David and Goliath. He smacks Goliath in the head with a stone. He says, I don't want the armor. I don't want all of this. And he just kills him dead. The ultimate battle. Yeah. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But God has been speaking to me about something that David says in the middle of all of that, which reminds everybody and David and God, I think, because God likes to be remembered how good he has been to us. So you can tell him, you've been good to me. David says something about some battles that he's had before that have prepared him for this enormous battle he's facing now. Okay? So I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about remembering the things that have gone before so that you can face the things that are today and the things that are to come. Okay? And the thing is, you see, I'm a preacher first and a teacher second. All right? So what I tend to do is I tend to be quite practical, if that's all right. But I don't want you to lose in the simplicity of what I'm going to be communicating today, the profound truth of the goodness of God and the power that there is in the name of Jesus when we face what we need to face. Okay. Bill Johnson says he doesn't study to deliver a good preach. He studies so that he grows inside and then just delivers what he's growing from. I really like that. I much prefer it that way. So I'm not criticizing anybody who loves to study, but it has to be in order to change me. And if I'm preaching, to bless people and encourage people I'm speaking to, that's why I do it. So this word was originally given actually as a prophetic word into a Marlow congregation. And since then, God has effectively said, don't let this one go. Just, I want to say some more things to you about this. And so that's why I'm saying it today. That's all right. So the word of God is active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And I want to use this story to encourage you this morning. The story of David and Goliath is a remarkable example of what victories can be won in the middle of intimidation, huffing and puffing, fear, confusion, all of those things. And I want to look at the account itself, but let me read the verse that I'm interested in to you first of all. 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 37. David is speaking to Saul in the middle of the battlefield, where Goliath and the Philistines are on one part of the hill, the Israelites are on the other, and there's kind of rah, posturing from Goliath. And the Israelites are going, "Oh my goodness, we're finished." Okay, so this is what David says. And David said to Saul, "Your servant," that's David, "kept his father's sheep. And when there came a lion, or again, a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and smote it, and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and smote it and killed it. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So, in the middle of one of the biggest crises that the Israelites were facing with the Philistines, David says, "We can do this. I can do this because I have faced the lion and the bear, and God has been with me before. He'll be with me again." Yeah? Okay. So, let's just have a little look at this, shall we? Let's look. One thing I'm very interested in that I want to start with is the first little bit. It said, David said to Saul, "Your servant kept his father's sheep." And the thing I love about David, I love looking into the life of David. I think it's remarkable, especially the early years. David used to keep his father's sheep. And you know when they tried to find him, and Samuel was saying, "Yeah, it's not that son. No, it's not him. No, not him. Not him." All these other sons. He said, "Have you got any more?" And David's dad goes, "Yeah, there's one out in the field." Yeah, he's kind of like, you know, maybe, he said, he's a bit of a dreamer. You know, likes to worship, plays his lyre. But David has been out worshipping the Lord in the field with the sheep all this time. He is the one who takes, and they're not his sheep, they're his father's sheep. He's honoured his father by looking after his sheep, playing his lyre, worshipping God in the hills. And what I want to say is that this boy, right from the beginning, whatever battle he faces in life, has had a foundation of spending time on his own with God, worshipping him on his own with honour for his father. You couldn't get a better example of a clean heart, could you? Here's this boy saying, I don't have to prove myself. I'm going to go out and look after my dad's sheep. But while I do, I'm going to take time to build my relationship with God by singing songs and worshipping him. So he said, "Your servant kept his father's sheep." Why would he have said that if it wasn't important? Well, because he was going on to talk about the battle. But the key point wasn't lost on me. If you want to see the battles won, honour the people that God puts in charge of you, father, mother, and so on. But also, take time out to build a foundation of relationship with God. Because if you don't have that, you will be intimidated by what the enemy throws against you. If you don't have a foundation of truth and faith, then it is like the man who built his house on the sand, isn't it? The storms come and he's just washed away. But David shows us, that's why it's here, to show you and me how important it is to honour, to have a right heart and spirit, and to spend time worshipping God. So David knew the strength he had to fight and win. And as he was protecting the actual sheep, it speaks to us about Jesus protecting us. We're called the sheep, aren't we? Good shepherd. And God does the same with us. He looks after us. He protects us from the lion and the bear. And I love the way these images just speak to us about who Jesus is. There's nothing arrogant about David. God was going to use him to fight and win bigger battles on behalf of the nation of Israel. It says in Colossians, "Have the roots of your being firmly rooted and planted in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, overflowing in it with thanksgiving. You know, you meet some people sometimes and you say, how are you doing? They say, oh, life's a battle. And life is, at times. I am not trying to belittle that. But the word, all the way through the word, we're encouraged to keep strong, to keep our foundations where they should be. Where are your foundations today? Where are you living and breathing from? Where is it that you find that place with God where you can say, I just want to take my time away with you and worship you, because I know that will build in me the foundation of everything else. I take myself off twice a year. It's not easy for me in my life. 3 children, busy job, busy life. And I'm sure it won't be easy for you either, because that's a battle in itself. But I take myself off twice a year for a few days, sometimes just overnight, for what I call a prayer retreat. And I don't go to a monastery or a nunnery, and often I don't fast either. But I say to God, you're waiting for me, and I know that I will not be able to have the quality of time with you in my home that I will have with you when I'm away. And some of you might not be able to do that at this time, but I remember my words in years to come, because kids get older and situations change. And I want to just encourage you to make sure that you do a David in parts of your life when you're feeling things are crowding in. I just need to build that foundation back again. Do a David and get out into the fields, figuratively. And sometimes I go and I'm so tired I just sleep. That's all right. But I'm saying to the Lord, this is your time to speak to me however you want to. And he does. And the thing with God is, he's so good, he knows what I like. So if I walk in the hills, or if I go, you know, if I see the scenery, that's as good for me as it would be having, this is just me, 3 hours fasting and praying, which I do, but not at those times very often. Okay, it's where you connect with God is what I'm talking about. David connected with God in the fields, with the sheep, with his lyre. We know that God chose David for his pure heart. 1 Samuel 16 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his appearance or at the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. But the Lord, for the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So this dutiful, honouring boy, time on his own, away from it all, he was sent for, and it said David had a healthy, reddish complexion and beautiful eyes and was fine looking. But the Lord was after his heart. And you know, there are times when we can, where we can do the Christian pretend thing with all good motive very often. I'm not here to condemn anyone. I've done it myself. But let this be a reminder to you that the Lord is really interested in your heart. I was reading a book and it talked about the preference that the Lord has for a pure heart. And sometimes people's behaviour doesn't always match up their purity in heart. But the Lord isn't looking. If you make a mistake, he's not saying, bang, rubbish, you're not going to be needed by me. He's saying, but what's your heart saying? Because sometimes I lose my temper with the dog or the kids or Chris or anyone else. And if God was saying, every time you lose your temper, that's a black mark against your name, and I don't know about your heart. But I'm saying, but Lord, I want my heart to be pure. Sometimes my actions aren't really saying what's going on inside me. I'm so hungry for the Lord, but sometimes I'm annoyed about stuff. If the Lord wrote me off for my actions, that would be really bad. He's much more interested in the purity of heart. And conversely, if everybody goes around trying to be perfect the whole time, but there's wickedness in the heart. Do you see the difference? So, you know, some of you will know that I really, really go for authentic Christianity. And a lot of people are brought up with, if you behave well, that's great. But their character is sorely missing. I'm interested, if people are badly behaved, actually, I don't write them off. Because what I'm thinking is, but what's their heart saying? Where's the purity? It's a radical message. Yeah? Because we're not supposed to act like Jesus but not be like Jesus. And I want to be like Jesus. He's working with my character, but I want my heart to be aligned to him. Do you see the difference? And so don't write yourself off if you feel like your behaviour doesn't match what you think it should do. We're all on a journey, really. Don't let that be an excuse for bad behaviour. But let's be real with each other, that if somebody snaps at me, I won't write them off as being impure. They may just be having a bad day. Yeah? So the Lord looks on the heart. I wasn't going to say all that, but I thought that's important. So David then gets identified. I'm just giving you a bit of history. I'm not going to be long now, but let's look at the Goliath passage. So the crucial thing in one of the verses in the chapter before, it said, and David came to Saul and served him. That's 16 verse 21. So here we go. Another thing that let David be in the line of the battle winner. He knew how to serve someone else's vision. David came to Saul and served him. So here's Saul, really challenged in his behaviour and some of his heart attitudes. David's job was just to serve him, and David did. And sometimes we need to serve people who we don't necessarily like, because the Lord is looking to us about our attitude and our heart, saying, are you prepared to serve this person? Are you prepared to follow their lead? I may be that person. Hey, you may think, but actually what the Lord's looking at is, where's your heart in this? You know, yeah, they're not always right, but that's all right. I'm more interested in what you're thinking about them and how you honour them. Yeah. So David, the great king, Saul, was served by David, and it's crucial in the life of a great leader that he or she learns how to serve under someone else's vision. Yeah. So Saul asked David to stay with him, and then we know there's all sorts of who he goes on later, which I'm not going to deal with, between David and Saul. All sorts of stuff. But let's look at this passage very quickly. Chapter 17. So I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to tell you that they were all camped looking at each other, eyeball to eyeball. Okay, and the Philistines, verse 3, stood on a mountain at one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. Where was the battle going to happen? In the valley. And a champion went out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits, which is almost 10 feet, my Bible says. Quite tall, really. And he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of mail, and the coat weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. Don't know how much that's... Anybody know that? How much that is? Probably a lot. He had bronze shin armour on his legs and bronze javelin across his shoulders, and the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and so on. And verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants, and so on. So let me tell you, what did Goliath do to intimidate? Well, verse 8 says he stood and shouted. He used his physical height and stature to appear strong. For those of us who are tall, that's quite easy to do. My kids give me lip. I can be very tall. Like this, no, I'm not really. You can use your physical stature to appear strong. So he's 10 feet. He was doing this whoa thing. Yep, seen it in wrestling and so on. He presented himself morning and evening for 40 days, verse 16 said. So basically, he'd go back into his tent, and then he'd come back out of his tent and go, whoa, go back into his tent again. And it was just to intimidate for 40 days, just to intimidate the Israelites. Okay, and it did its job. They were intimidated. Verse 42 says, he scorned and despised. He was like, oh, you're a load of rubbish. All of this happens before the battle. It's very interesting, isn't it? And in 43, he cursed David. The word says he cursed David, verse 43. So what have we got? We've got this man who decides that he's going to win this battle because he's tall, he's mouthy, he's got lots of armour, he's like, raw, 40 days, I'm going to make them feel like they are going to lose this thing. Have you ever had the enemy relentlessly pursue you for the equivalent of 40 days with his big armour on, and he's 10 feet tall, and he's saying, ha ha, I'm coming back out again, rawr, and he goes back in, and then the next day you're not breaking through and you're feeling like, oh, this is rubbish. You know, he is so effective at intimidating us into believing that we will win the battles that we are facing and we just don't stand a chance. And this passage is designed to say, but that's not true. Because what David does, this worshipping, God-fearing, honouring boy, is does things a different way. And who would have thought it? Right, we know the end of the story. Certainly, it took Goliath by surprise. And there are times when I believe we can take the enemy by surprise, by winning the battle in ways that he doesn't expect. And that is based on our relationship with who? Jesus, with God, with our Father, who says, you don't need to be intimidated. David battled with intimidation from his brother Eliab, who accused him of presumption. Who do you think you are? That wasn't Goliath that said that. That was a member of his family. You ever had a member of your family saying, who do you think you are? So did David. A lot of battles are lost in the spirit, because actually, sometimes people criticize other Christians. Right. Sometimes you have to battle with people thinking you're presumptuous, because all you're doing is breaking through in more of God. And what you're really looking for is, yay, go David! But actually, who do you think you are? Sadly, sometimes it can be in the body of Christ, and I don't want any of that. One of the biggest joys that I have is to sit with people and get excited about their journeys. And not be remotely offended if people overtake me or anybody else that I know. Just say, you go for it. You know, I'm not perfect in a lot of things, and I'm not perfect in this, but oh, I want to be like God, who says, I'm going to take David because I see his pure heart, and I'm going to let him run. And I just love seeing people run into more of Jesus. And not say to them, who do you think you are? We got to repent for crushing people in their genuine passion for Jesus. And we've got to learn to release people into their destinies. Sorry, you can tell it's okay, let's move on quickly. Don't be diluted with the vision that God has given you. Be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. If David was a people pleaser, he would have said, yeah, you've got a point there. Yeah, I'm not very skilled. No, I'm not a great warrior, I'm a bit of a shepherd. You know, but remember what he says to Saul that I read. When a lion or bear came out and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and I attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And it's on that basis that David goes out and stands and faces this monster. Okay? Sometimes battles are monsters, aren't they? Have you ever had a monster battle? My goodness. When you got a monster battle, when you got a Goliath, you've got to know who you are in Jesus to fight this thing. And I am here to say to you today that David didn't need armour. He didn't need what other people said to him that he needed. He's like, do you mind if I don't wear that? It's just ridiculous. I can't fight a battle with Goliath wearing that armour. Oh my goodness. I'm not used to wearing armour. But I have got another way. And there may be times when you feel like people are making you journey in areas that you're not happy with. Have the courage to say, no, that's not how God wants me to do this. It may be that someone is saying, go and fight that battle by having it out with that person. But actually, you know that the godly way is to just say, no, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to pray some more. I don't need that kind of armor. I don't need to be aggressive. I don't need to look like I'm posturing back. Actually, I'm going to go and find a stone, and I'm going to do it a different way. Okay, just to encourage you. And I want you to remember today that when you are faced with intimidating circumstances, so when you get the enemy coming out and going for a long time, Each one of you and me has battles that we have won before with Jesus, which gives us the strength and hope to say, I've had my lions and bears. I know what it is to win. I know what it is to be protecting my sheep. And I know that God has been the killer of the lions and the bears for me. He will help me through this one. And I believe that he's speaking something fresh into this church about remembering the goodness of the Lord in the past when times have been tough, to face whatever it is. And you know, battles don't have to be with people. Battles can be with ourselves. And so the Goliath might be in you. You might be intimidated by who you are, or you might be feeling like there's a war raging internally for your destiny, for your future, for your peace of mind, for self-confidence, for a belief that ever is anything ever going to change. And you feel this thing, this Goliath going, oh well, it's rubbish, you're never going to get over that, you're never going to win this one. But this word here, this beautiful word of God, says it differently. And God is calling you to remember the things that you have won before for the today. So much of the Bible inspires us to remember. And it's not about getting nostalgic. It's like, oh, it was good then. That was when I was a young Christian. Because actually, sometimes in my life, it's been much more gutsy than that, and I've actually had to pull into my mind the truth of the remembrance of the goodness of God. I don't know whether that's anybody else's testimony, but when I've faced my Goliaths, and there have been some, it's about saying, yes, but you held me in that time, and I won that one. And it's quite hard to do when you're faced with a Goliath, but if you do it, you will have an openness in your mind and your spirit for God to speak fresh words and say, why don't you pick up that stone over there? Because that's how you're going to win this Goliath. That's going to be how you're going to beat him. Okay. When we don't live in the freedom of the revelation of who God is for today, we live on yesterday's manner. We live on kind of like what the words that people say to us, and that becomes our truth. Well, God has truth today for each one of us, which says, this is what I want to say to you today. This is fresh. This is new. Remember what I've done for you. But I want to use that to speak something fresh into you today. And that's what God is saying. There is a battle for our confidence in the Word of God. And you don't need to worry that he's going to harm you or hurt you. He has got fresh things to say to you. I'm going to finish. Many of us have known the faithfulness of God. And if you are sitting here today and you have known the faithfulness of God in past battles and you've known there's been a victory, then thank him for it. If you're sitting here today and you could honestly say, I don't remember any time when God has helped me win anything, I am going to stick my neck out and say, he has helped you. And the truth is, just because you don't remember now, there is a higher truth, which is that God is true to his word and he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He will never leave you in a place where he doesn't want to meet with you. He's always desperate to meet with you in relationship. And so choose to believe the higher truth, that there have been a lot of things going on behind the scenes in your life that you will never see until you get to glory. Things that God has been doing, working all things together for good. Things that you will be surprised by when you get the revelation of them. And I want to pray faith into us all. Psalm 103 says, forget not one of his benefits. There have been times when, even without knowing it, you've advanced on the enemy and overcome him. And the Lord looks at you and says, you're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. And so I'm not wishing Goliaths on any of us. But I am saying that until we get to be with Jesus, the enemy will try very hard to steer us off course. But it is completely possible to stay focused on the goodness of God and not be intimidated by the posturing of a 10-foot man, effectively. So I'm just going to pray and just leave a little bit of time for the Lord to speak. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Yeah, Father, thank you for David. Thank you for this example of a boy who was after your heart and was after telling you privately in the fields how he loved you. Thank you for encounters that no one else saw, that we wouldn't know about if he hadn't said that one thing that is there for us to draw comfort from. Thank you for all of David's life and what it teaches us. Lord, I pray you'd use the words today for encouragement. Thank you that your word is to build us up. Thank you that you're always good. Thank you that you're always wanting to meet us. Thank you that you love us more than actually we love ourselves. Thank you that you have a future and a hope for each one of us. Nobody misses out on that. Thank you that it is because of the cross that we can say everything is under our feet because of what Jesus has done for me. Thank you for your resurrection that finished the enemy's hold on our lives forever. And Father, for each life here, for each private life with you, I want to pray you'd strengthen the foundations. Father, I pray that you would lead each one into a fresh encounter with you. That people feel just, they think differently about you. And they're just encountering you in different ways. Lord, I pray you'd find creative ways to meet with us this week. I pray you'd help us to remember things that you want us to remember, the battles that we've seen overcome. Thank you that you've equipped us to win every battle that we face. And I want to speak to the Goliaths, and I want to remind the Goliaths where their destiny is, and I want to say that, Lord God, we are on your side and you are on our side. And thank you that you get battles won creatively. Lord, I pray against intimidation from this point in. I pray against posturing and huffing and puffing and you can't do that. Who do you think you are? Rubbish. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that everyone here knows that they are safe in your arms and safe in the knowledge that you will take care of them, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. That's in your word. It's true. And Lord, as we look forward with excitement about all the things you have for us, I want to pray that we'd advance as a people, Lord, who know how to handle anxiety when it comes, who know how to handle intimidation when it comes, who just know what to do. Because Lord, you set before us the joy as you went to the cross, you've given us joy as we look ahead, Lord, for the excitement of the journey. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. Thank you so much for your love and grace and your mercy over us. Thank you so much that you see us, not how we see ourselves, but you say, just go for it. There's just this, just get over the hurdle. I'm with you. You look at the backpack and you say, pick it up. This is an adventure with me. You have everything you need. And when you don't feel you have, I'll give it you. Don't worry. All you do is walk the journey. And I want to thank you that you have endless resources for us today and for the rest of our lives that we can draw down when we need them. And even when we don't know we need them, you will pour them out on us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And I just want to speak faith into this congregation in Jesus' name. Faith in Jesus' name. Hope in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to speak for optimism. I just felt I should pray for a spirit of optimism to just fall on this congregation again. A spirit of optimism. It's like, are you glass half full or are you glass half empty? Well, this is glass half full. This is more and more overflowing with the optimism that rests deep in the heart of God. That the hope, the joy, the destiny for a future full of battles won, of battlefields strewn with the enemy, as we walk away and we learn together what it is to have victory, and we serve each other as we help each other pick ourselves up and go back on. So thank you for this congregation. I speak blessing over it. I just feel this so blessing, such a blessing here. But Lord, the Lord wants to bless you more, with so much more he has for you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.